Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just like the feeling. I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling. Like, you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get was a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Cade Moyer, and you are listening to the Believe Paranormal and UFO Podcast. If you have had an encounter and would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. If you enjoy the podcast, be sure to leave us a rating or review wherever you listen and head on over to our website, believepod.com, and consider becoming a member to get bonus episodes and video content. Tonight I'm joined by Andrew, and Andrew's been having some unusual paranormal activity in his life. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Cade. Hello. How are you, mate?
I'm very good. I am so pleased that you have agreed to come on the show because I think your story is quite a powerful story, and I think it will actually resonate with a lot of people, whether they're believers of the paranormal or not. I think there's potentially a deeper message to the encounters and the story that you're going to be sharing tonight. So, Andrew, I'm going to open up and just say, mate, where did this all start for you?
All right, Kate. So I'll probably go back to, I think with this story, I want to start with losing my sister, because I think this is what I can relate to it. That might have been my sister that came to me 25 years later. So we're going to go back to 1991. And this is the only occasion where something really strange did happen prior to what's happened 25 years later. So losing my twin we were 17 years old on Friday. We just turned 17 and unfortunately lost her on the Sunday in a car accident. Her boyfriend had killed her in a car accident. It was just a normal day in the country. And a car came up to us. I'd only seen my sister maybe, would have been 20 minutes prior to the accident, and a car came up to us, me and some mates at the town, the local place we used to hang out, and said, oh, couldn't you tell us how to get out of town? There's been a car accident down the road, and we're like, oh, shit, that's no good. And, we said, go this way, head over to Morgan, and you can get out this way out of town. And we thought, oh, well, let's go and have a look. So back in 1991, we still actually jumped on the back of utes. This is a country town, so my mate and I jumped on the back of this ute with two in the front. There was four of us, and we headed off down a dirt road to have a bit of a look. And another car came up, and someone we knew and said, it's Mark. So, and it's his car for sure. So we thought, oh no. So I knew at that stage that my sister was in an accident, but didn't know any details. Nobody could see what was going on. There was sirens and ambulances and fire trucks going there, but we proceeded to go around the top, what we call the ridge, looking down to the primary school where the accident happened. And by then I'm starting to get pretty worried. You know, I'm thinking, oh God, I hope my sister's all right. You know, we weren't panicking at that stage, but we were worried. One of my mates was like, oh, he better not have hurt anyone, rah, rah, rah. We're all sort of going on about it a bit. And thinking, God, and looking down, we could see the ambulances and fire trucks down there, but we couldn't get down to it, so we had to go right around about another 2 kilometres, I guess. So we got to the T section, which was probably about another kilometre or two away from the accident. And I was on the back of the ute and I just fell off. I jumped off basically and fell to the ground. And I just said, my sister's dead. And my mate's like, oh, come on, what do I get up, mate? You know, don't, this is silly. What are you doing? And I just couldn't stand up. So they had to pick me up. And at that stage, from that exact moment, which I still carry this feeling now, if there was such a thing as a soul, I mean, I don't know, you know, without getting too spiritual, I'm not a massive believer in God and all that yet, but I felt if there was such a thing as a soul, I felt it get ripped out of me. That's the only way I could describe it. It was a feeling of energy and just being torn out of me and butterflies. I sort of describe it as to someone, if you were doing the biggest race of your life and you were so nervous and the butterflies, that's the feeling I had. And absolutely convinced that Lucy had gone. So they threw me in the front seat, told me to calm. They were trying to calm me down. And we went to the site and I was stopped straight away by a prison officer. My dad was a prison officer there at Cadell. And they told me straight away, grabbed me straight away and said, my sister was the only one that had died. It was a very bad accident. There was two other couples in the back that were in a bad way, and the driver had walked out of the accident. But yeah, that was, I knew. So that was probably the strangest thing that's, you know, to this day that's ever happened in my life, was that feeling of knowing. How I knew, I don't know, but I knew. It wasn't paranoia. I try and explain this because I was looking down at it and we were talking about it in being very worried, you know, like I was definitely worried. I was looking going, oh, you know, but I wasn't, you know, like making this up. I wasn't panicking myself to go, oh my God, she's dead for sure. Like it was a real feeling when it happened. It just hit me. And looking later, you know, back on the timeline of where it was and when she'd passed, they were trying to resuscitate my sister, but the head injuries were too bad. It sort of all made sense. That probably was when she passed, basically where I was at that time. It would have been very close to that timeline. So, yeah, it was just strange. It was just the strangest thing. So, yeah, so that was horrible for everyone involved. I'm going to move forward soon because, I mean, this is not really what it's about, but I wanted to reflect on that was something maybe spiritual or whatever that was just life-changing, of course, losing someone. But that, for me, was definitely something bigger. I mean, I've lost lots of people in my life, but losing Luce, my sister, my twin, was just something that I can't explain the feeling.
I believe there's this unspoken bond between twins, yeah, that no one, yeah, else would really understand unless they have a twin.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, I agree. So my older sisters are actually identical twins. There's two sets of twins in my family, and they do definitely have felt each other's different pains over the years and feel things of each other. So that's – but, you know, I mean, obviously I wasn't an identical twin because I had a twin sister, but I do believe that it's real. And just quickly, Kate, I'll every year I've dreamt, I have a dream of Lucy, like every year it happens. Once, I don't know when, it'll happen, and it absolutely rolls me. Like I'm gone for 3 days. I'm just so worn out from it. And it maybe hasn't happened for a year or two, actually. It's probably when I was back in mining, I remember the last one because it's the closest thing I can say to seeing her again, if that makes sense, of it's that real.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, she comes to me in dreams. But, you know, dreams are dreams. That's how I am. Like I said, you're going to hear me sound like a skeptic a lot, okay, because that's all. I'm always being skeptical of so much stuff. So sorry that I keep doing this, but I always think a dream's a dream. You know, we can concoct anything in our brain, surely. But once again, this is really odd because when I see her, can't stay awake because I'm so emotional. It hits me, and she turns and tries to grab my hand, and I'm so gone. I'm so emotional that I wake up every time. So what's, it's, this sounds weird, but I swear she tries different ways to come to me, because she does it a different way every time. She's tried a distant, she tries turning in a crowd from a distance. She's tried telling me to calm down. She's actually put her hand out and grabbed my arm and tries to tell me to calm down. She said, settle down, but I can't. I'm so emotional that I'm gone. It's just, I just wake up and I'm in tears and I'm gone all night. Like, it's a really, really emotional thing when it happens, because it's so real. Like, I can see her so clearly that it's, the memory's just amazing. But this one in particular time, maybe 10 years ago, I actually got to put my arms around her. That's a, because I must have stayed awake longer than, you know, must have been 5 seconds where I got to actually put my arms around her. The strangest thing was I can feel her. I could actually feel, because we're both skinny, always felt very skinny. I could feel her bony shoulders, like that used to feel. And it was, you know, you say in dreams it's very hard to feel but things properly, but this was really odd. And like I said, this will roll me for 3 days. That's just, I'm gone. But yeah, it's not as much at the moment. I haven't done it for a long time. I haven't dreamt it. Maybe it's been a couple of years, but a couple of times with my wife, I've woken up and in tears, and she's like, she understands what's happening. And yeah, I'll be very emotional. And because really, it's just like seeing someone that's passed as close as you can see them, if that makes sense. Like, it's, you know, if you haven't seen someone for 20 years and they just pop up in your dream, but it is that real that you swear you're just running into them again for the first time in 20 years. So it's, and she looks like she's aged too. Does that, that is so weird. She's actually aging with me.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Not a lot, like, because I'm 17, I'm 47 now. I've got a photo of her right now, so I've just brought her into the room with me just because I'm talking about it tonight. I wanted her to be in this. I've got a photo. I'm looking at her. We still, even though she's 17, it's still actually, we don't actually look that different in age still, even though I'm 47 and grey, but sounds weird. But I haven't left her that, really left her in age yet when I look at her. Like, we still, because she's pretty grown up for a 17-year-old, but in the dream, she's aging. She's actually aged. So whether I'm manifesting this, I don't know, but
let's say you are manifesting that. You know, your subconscious is creating beautiful memories for you, which,
that's right.
You know, be paranormal, be psychological. I think it's amazing either way.
But the fact that she's tried to calm me down, that's where the skeptic in me drops a bit, and I go, hold on a minute. If I'm manifesting this, why? There's like two things going on here. I'm trying to see her and bring her back into my memories, but she's trying to calm me down and talk to me and come to me in different ways I'm not so traumatized by it, if that makes sense, because that's what it does to me. It really hits me hard when I see her. But
have you ever spoken to a medium about her?
I have, yeah. My wife's right into it. But she didn't come through that well for me. Other people did. There was some people that came through. My pop, and someone else came through. But Lucy was, she didn't come through really strong, which was a bit odd. And I was trying to think of her on the day, as they say, trying, you know, put a lot of energy into that. But I actually got all odd people, really odd people. Yeah, strangely enough, I just lost a mate, a good fishing mate of mine, through motor neuron disease. He's only my age. It was horrible, horrible to watch him go. And we did a lot of fishing together. And he's Brazilian. And she said to me, "There's someone here but I can't understand him properly." And she's saying he just wants to tell you that the fish, there's fishing in heaven, and thumbs up. And I didn't know what she was talking about. And it was actually my wife sitting next to me and said, and she's going, "Oh, the accents, I can't pick it, but he's just really hammering you that there's fishing in heaven." And anyway, I just lost Carlos. So I said, "Carlos, it's got to be. Who else could there be talking about fishing that's got an accent?" So yeah, there you go. It's just one of them things. You know, was it Carlos? I don't know, but it felt nice to think that that he was there. And we were, some of the last things we did together was fishing. So yeah, who knows? But Lucy didn't come through. Yeah, going back to that cage, she didn't really come through. But
it seems like Lucy potentially shows up in a way that she wants to show up for you later on.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. I felt her. Having my first child, and that I actually named my daughter after her auntie Lucy. So my first daughter is Lucy. So she's got her auntie's name, and there is times where I feel it. I do feel present that you've got that feeling like someone's there for sure. But someone's just standing next to me sometimes. But we'll get to that in a minute. We can go to that now if you want. So that's really, really what I wanted to go with the start of that, Cade.
I really appreciate it because, you know, that is such a deep and personal aspect of your life that, it takes a lot of courage to come on the show to share the paranormal aspects of your life. You know, it is another level to come on and share such personal and intimate information about yourself. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm very, very appreciative and so, so grateful that, you know, you take the time out of your day to share that with me and the listeners. So,
yeah, that's what it's about, Kate. I think if I can help someone else that may be going through the same sort of stuff, you know, it doesn't have to be a twin, it can be anyone you lose, but it gives you that little bit of hope that maybe they are around you, and that there's sometimes when you get that feeling, it's real, I think. And that's a nice way to believe, I think it is, that they are with you when you need them.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you on that because, you know, I'm with you. I'm not a huge spiritual person. You know, I'm not much of a believer in God or anything like that.
No, but, same here.
You know, I am a big believer that everyone is made up of energy. And that energy has to go somewhere.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. I'm pretty much, we think exactly the same, Kate. I find the whole concept of heaven and all this stuff just not really believable at all in my eyes. It's just, but I do believe you see someone and that, you know, their personality and everything about them that is so strong, and then you can just stop that heart. And where that person's just disappeared, like, guys, that makes no sense to me. So that energy of that person, surely it can't just go out like a flame, can it? Surely, God, it can't. So who knows? I definitely believe in aliens, but that's another story. But not so much in heaven and stuff like that. But, yeah. But anyway, look, I'm happy to go on to where – what happens 25 years later, if you'd like to talk about that now, Cade. So
yeah, absolutely, mate, because it really does, I guess this prelude to this kind of really does lead into what happens next. And now a quick word from our sponsor.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
Yeah. So 25 years on, basically. So it's been 30 years now since I've lost Lucy. Probably not quite 25 years on. I moved to Queensland with my ex-partner now. Got into FIFO, so I was working up in Queensland there at Moranbah, flying out of Brisbane. The relationship was instantly got strained living up there. You know, working away, different lives, different people. I was with this person for 15 years, so it was a long time to be with a person, and it was probably hard to see us changing and going different ways, and it took its toll. So this this whole thing basically went over four years. So 4 years of really bad relationship. It got worse and worse and worse. I was flying away, so I was away so much. Obviously, it's hard to fix things like this. but it got worse. Lies, it become a lot of lies and things like that. So eventually to the point where we were totally disconnected. She was living her own life, didn't want much to do with me. But at the same time, it was a very toxic relationship where she wouldn't end it with me. So I was getting into a bad place, and I sort of stuck it out, thinking it would always get better or something would change, and it just never did. But I just hung on, and she wouldn't sort of. It was really strange. She wouldn't let me go. She was doing her own thing, but she at the same time wouldn't let me go. So, basically the depression came in, which I've never had depression before. Even though losing my sister and that, I'm still a pretty upbeat sort of bloke, and went into a really dark place. And this went on, oh God, man, it went on for years. And everyone at work, they were my rock. My work was my rock. Lucky I had this job and all my mates up in the bush, because that's what kept me going through all of this. And they were sick of listening to my whinging and me telling you then what's going on. And they're all going, well, we know what your partner's doing, mate. You're gonna have to wake up sooner or later. And I was always defending her. And But where did it start? I mean, so it started, I was in very, very, really dark place, to the point where I couldn't even go. I had a boat. I couldn't even go fishing. I couldn't do anything. I was in such a bad way. And it started, I was so lost and always on my own, never had any mates when I was home. And I was staring at the telly, and the stereo was a hi-fi system, so like a surround sound system. And the volume had a little red dot on it, so you could actually see the volume. And I'm staring at the telly, and the volume just goes from, you know, like I had it on, to just full noise, like. And I'm watching it go up. It was like a bit gross. It was like, oh yuck, that's horrible. That was scary. Like, I didn't like that. Ran up, turned it down, sat back down. I thought that was pretty weird. It was a pretty odd thing to happen, but put it down to the stereo, whatever electronics. No big deal. That's just who I am. I'm always like, yeah, there'd be a reason for that. 2 weeks, the next hitch, nothing happened after that. Maybe the next hitch, the same thing. I'm watching my DVDs as I did. That's all I had. I used to go to the video store. Was in a, you know, really, really bad place at the time. It did it again. And it was like, oh, this is weird. And I think I mentioned it to my ex-partner at the time, and she's like, that's never happened to me. And because we were still talking a bit, you know, like it was as bad as it was, well, we still had the odd conversation. But in probably the next hitch after that, or maybe the one after that, it was just getting to a bad place and worse. Well, she went on about this phone. She said to me, do you know anyone that can fix phones? Right, even up my phone stuffed. I said, no. So there was this phone of hers that sat broken in the kitchen. And she'd had it at Telstra shop there at Noosa and tried to get it fixed, and they couldn't fix it. It was fried. It was an old Nokia. So it sat there for a long time. Well, one day when in my lost world that I was in, I was staring in the kitchen, just staring at it, and something said, just try and turn it on for some reason, because I was worried about what she was up to and what was going on, because it was just so strange to be around this person that I'd known for 15 years. And the phone turned on, which was really odd. This phone was completely broken, apparently. And it was on long enough for me to read the messages that no man would want to read. So we don't need to go into that, but you can imagine what I was reading, which confirmed everything that she was up to with another man. So it was just horrible. But it was like, obviously someone wanted me to see this, and I'd read enough of it that it was just disgusting. So I thought, right, I turned it off, and then it turns into rage, of course, because your partner's cheated on you, whatever, and I'm turning it back on. I'm going to find out who this bloke is. It wouldn't turn back on. So I took it down to Noosa to the Telstra shop, and I said, you've got to try and get this phone on, because I want to find out who this bloke is that she's seeing. And they said, no, there's not. They tried everything. There's no way they could get the final test. It said it's completely fried. So that was a bit odd. That the phone just turned on for me to confirm what was going on, because this was a couple of years building up to this of us not even. I was living with this person, but there's no connection there. She was obviously seeing. So I knew she was seeing someone else, but I was just in denial, and I was just in such deep depression, and I was just hopeless. It was looking back on myself. It was just pathetic, really. I just look at myself now. Oh my God, how could I be so pathetic? But yeah, it confirmed it. So
that is worse. That is super, super weird, because it's almost like I don't want to sound like too airy fairy, but it almost sounds like guardian angel type of stuff. Of look, here's what you needed to know.
I have, I have thought about that.
It's kind of like here's what you need to know, but you don't need to know anymore.
That's right. That's exactly what it was. And I mean, how does a phone that's completely dead, you think about this, turn on and run? You know, even when your phone's flat, it's been, and this phone sat, I remember this phone sat in an old basket thing in the kitchen. It sat in there for a long time. I remember looking at it for, you know, a month or two. And looking back, and I can remember going on about it a lot too, this phone, that she wanted it working, and I can see why. So, but, yeah, so anyway, it gets worse. I stuck it out. You know, I still was in denial, and then I went into a deeper, deeper, deeper place. I went, like I said, keep going back to work, never stopped my job. Everyone at work was so over me. My boss was there for me. He was amazing. You know, he could see me going downhill. And I think what was happening is I didn't want to go home, which was Air South Australia's my home, which I should have done straight away. I had no friends in Noosa or anywhere like that. It was only my work that kept me going. I think I just tried to – I don't know what I was doing. I think I just tried to stick it out. Maybe other people listening will know what I'm talking about. You just don't want to fail and ring your parents or whatever and go, I'm coming home, and you've got your life tied up with this person. You keep thinking you could work it out, but it was never going to get worked out. But so what happened after that? I mean, I guess I just was in a really bad way. It just, and she still was not really saying you need to leave me or anything like that. It was a really toxic sort of relationship to be in. And then I was in a really bad way. I remember the sweats I was getting and stuff like that. So then pretty much next hitch home, every morning I'd wake to my light on. Now, this was a touch light. So once again, I'm a skeptic. Yeah, it's touch lamps. Of course, they can come on easy. That's what I've always said. But this was on at 3 o'clock. I'd wake up every day, which seems to be very common with podcasts I've listened. Okay, this 3 a.m. thing. I don't know whether everyone seems to say 3 a.m. I don't know what's with that, but I'm going to say that a lot.
Oh, it's the witching hour.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? It's 3 a.m. So, I swear it was 3 a.m. on the dot. I swear every frigging morning I'd wake up and it was like my light's on. And I don't know if you've done it. It's a really weird feeling when you wake up and your light's on all the time. Like it's you sort of, I wasn't really worried about it. Like going, it's weird. Touch lamps on all the time. Well, it did it every day that I was home for that 5 days, because I think I was like 14 and 7 then. It did it every day. Then this second hitch, like, so this went on, the depression, everything. It was just horrible. I was just a wreck. Then I started waking up at 3 a.m. and it was overwhelmed with someone being over me. That energy, I can only describe it as energy. Does that make sense? I'm in a dead still room. There's no breeze in there or anything like that, but it was cold and I seriously felt like someone was over me, and this was happening, and I was actually scared. I'm actually getting a bit funny talking about it, because I'm not that sort of person. Like, nothing scares me. Like, I don't know. I think I explained in the email I sent to you. I don't know if I did, Kay, that I do a lot of hunting. I've lived in the bush most of my life, and like I pretty much am the predator, if that makes sense. I love the dark. Like I live in the dark. I wander around in the dark. So for me to be like this in darkness was really odd, that I was scared, like, and I don't know why, but that feeling was so overwhelming that someone was in the room with me. And then the light would come on when I was with my eyes open in the dark, so I couldn't see anything, but I could feel something in the room with me, and I'm like, oh, this feeling is horrible. Why am I feeling this? Like, there's someone. And then the light was actually coming on. So that happened about three times.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, the light coming on in the dark with my eyes open. So not waking up to it, actually being awake to it. That actually scared me. I didn't like that. I didn't like the feeling. I didn't really like that at all.
And I don't even like hearing that. That is giving me chills. I can only imagine kind of what's going through your mind in that situation.
Yeah, because it was scary, mate. It was actually really scary. I didn't like that. And this is sort of when it got a bit full on, and I was like, I don't like this. And then it went on to be, I guess, I don't know, it was just such a horrible place. Looking back, I don't even like thinking about it. It's just a horrible place to be in your life. But I hope my family doesn't hear this, but I was probably suicidal. I reckon, I think I was, but I actually went and seen a shrink, and first time in my life I had to actually admit it. They asked me and I said, well, yeah, I thought about it. But in all honesty, I would never, ever put my parents through that again, if that makes sense. Like, seeing what they went through with my sister, that's how I felt. I thought, no way would I ever put anyone through that sort of pain again. And I thought, I don't care how much pain I'm in, I'm going to get through this. So what was the next thing? I think the lights, that just went on all the time when I was home. See, this never happened any other time. This just got worse. It was just escalating, you know. These things never happened beforehand. They never happened when I was in a better place. This just got worse. Well, I was sitting in the probably the worst thing that ever happened was going back to the lights, I actually started hearing voices in my head. And this was a soft voice. Now, I can't say that it was my sister, and I don't even know whether I was making this up, but I kept hearing a voice saying, you need to go. And I don't know whether I was saying it to myself or manifesting whatever. I don't understand it, but it was a female's voice. It wasn't my voice. It sounded female, and it was soft, and it kept saying it over and over. And this was happening in the dark at 3 a.m. in the morning. And I actually answered back to it three or four times and went, I know, okay. I friggin' know what I've got to do. And goosebumps all over me, the lights on, shut it down, couldn't sleep. Then you'd never get back to sleep after that. I couldn't. It was just horrible. I'd get up, and back then I was a smoker, and I would just smoke like 15 smokes in a row, just pacing the house, just going, well, I'm not going back in there. It's just this is just horrible. But then the final thing that happened, this is actually the final thing that happened, Cade, was I was in the lounge, and there was a chandelier-like light above my head, and it's a hanging one, and this is a dead still night. Like I said, it's a typical Noosa night, you know, it's the windows are open, but there's no breeze. It was coming into summer, and I look up, I can see the light moving all through the light spectrum on the walls flying. I look up, and this lampshade above my head is like, it isn't just moving, it's nearly hitting the sides. Like, it's swinging so violently that it's nearly going, it's nearly touching the gibrock from side to side. I actually ran out of there. Now, my partner, my ex, was home then. She was up in her room. We weren't in the same rooms. She was very rarely home when I was there, but she was there. And I actually ran into her room and opened a door, and she was in bed or something like that, and she looked at me and said, what are you doing? Like, well, basically, why would you be in here? And I said, the light is completely shaking above my head, going side to side violently. And she just basically cracked it at me and said, well, thanks for telling me this. And, yeah, it was just, that's the sort of person she was. It was just horrible. So I walked out of there, left her in there. She didn't seem too concerned about it. And, it was really scary. I hated that. That was the first time I was convinced that something was. I didn't think it was a haunting. It was someone was trying to, I swear, and I actually knew at the time, someone was trying to slap me across the face. For God's sake, would you just wake up? I think looking back on all of it, Kate, I swear the whole thing was just a wake up. Whoever it was, guardian angel, be it Lucy, I hope it was Luce, my twin, or it's the guardian angel, mate, just kicked in and went, you're going to have to wake up to yourself sooner or later and get out of this place you're in, because it was darkness. I was just in the darkest of places. So,
Yeah.
I was lost. Yeah. That's the only way to describe it.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people can relate to situations like that. It is, you know, not a great position to be in. And then you have this, you know, extra element on top of what you're already going through of, you know, potentially paranormal activity going on there. That would have been quite a confronting time for yourself.
Yeah. And I kept it to myself too. Like, I didn't tell anyone. I don't remember telling anyone. I don't think I did. And I've shut a lot of this out too. Like, this is, since sending you the email, Kate, I've actually had to bring a lot of this back up and dig into what was actually going on and the timeline of it. It was just incredible. It actually blows me away looking back on it, because I actually shut a lot of it out at the time. Once I'd made my decision, which was the next thing I did, was going, I rang Dad and mates and I said, I've got to get out of here. And they were, within two days, I had mates drive over, my dad trailers, and we were out of there. I got my car, boat, we're gone. And it honestly was like, I mean, obviously getting out of a relationship like that, it was like the weight had fallen off. Like, when I drove down that road, it was like two cars just fell off my shoulders, the weight. It was just incredible. It really was absolutely incredible. And nothing ever happened again. Well, there is one more thing, but we'll get to that. But, yeah, that nothing in my life now has ever happened again. I've never had any paranormal activity, nothing crazy at all. It just stopped. It literally just stopped. That was the end.
It is such an interesting series of events because, you know, you've probably had a decade to really think about this. I know you said just before that when you contacted me, this was probably one of the first times you really kind of delved deep into it. But I'm sure in the decade between when that happened to now, that some thoughts of what was going on potentially crossed your mind, because I just from you talking there, I kind of have two ideas of what, in my opinion, may have been the thing going on there. Is that one, it almost sounds like a bit of poltergeist activity going on that is absolutely feeding on the negative energy within that house. And from everything that you were saying there, there was enough negative energy for this thing to feed on forever.
For sure. Yep. Yeah, I was dark, mate. I was in a really dark place, and I was actually a really dangerous person too at the time, like, because I was just so angry at everything, at the world, you know. So nowhere to go, no one to blame. Well, had someone to blame, but she didn't care. So it was just a strange place to be. I'd never been in that sort of predicament before. So it was all unusual.
Absolutely. And you know, that was probably when you've been the most vulnerable in your life as well, which you know can let a lot of darkness in there. And
yeah,
you know, I wonder if the voice of that you heard of get out, you know, potentially was your sister kind of breaking through the everything else that was potentially happening there to just say,
yeah,
get out, mate, this is you need to get out of here now, because it's not going to get better.
Yep. And I actually answered that voice. So like I said, whether I made that up in my head, I still don't think I would have, but I said it's hard to know when you're in such a horrible place where you, what you're capable of or what you're doing. But I swear it was female. It was a female voice, and it was softly spoken, but it said it a lot. And it was enough for me to answer back and go, I get it. I know what I have to do. And And I didn't go with it. And so I went back to work again. And I reckon that last time I came back was when that lampshade was just so violently hit, because I was just staring at that stupid bloody television again, you know, just going nowhere. Maybe it was, I look back, it was just escalating to the point where it was either going to get more and more full on if I stayed there, I'm sure of it. So like you said, was it a poltergeist? Was it my sister? Was it a guardian angel? What was it? But yeah, look, Kate, look, whatever was going on, mate, it wasn't a coincidence, or, it was something was happening. It wasn't just a series of crazy little things that, it was just too weird. And it was only happening when I was at that house. It didn't happen at work. It just happened every time I went in that room. I tell you, I swear, when I got in that bedroom, that's when it was happening. So I don't know.
Yeah, and, the takeaway is that everything that happened there, it led to a positive ending.
Mm-hmm. It did. But the final thing that happened, and this is me, the skeptic, Ken, I thought, oh, that thing was old, was I took the car home that my ex had, basically, right? At the time we had a nice car, and I took that away from her, and that was going with me. And she had this surfboard bead thing around the rearview mirror. It was there for years. And I remember I wanted to take it down one day. She's like, no, she never let me take it down, whatever. But she loved it. So that was on out my car when I drove back to South Australia. Months later, I met a local girl that I've known for years there, who's my wife now. And we fell in love instantly. So there's a good ending to all of this. And, she's my beautiful wife now that I love so much, and I couldn't be without. And driving down the road, pretty much the day that I knew I'd fallen in love, I was driving down the road. This thing just exploded, literally exploded, and the beads went all over me.
Oh, my goodness.
Over the dash. Yeah, this is a true story. And I just laughed. I was actually just laughing. It didn't scare me at all. I didn't have any – and I still think it was probably just old. It didn't matter. The timing was perfect. But that was, to me, was just like the end. It was just the end of that crap. It was just – the perfect ending to it, watching that thing just explode and just beads went all over me as I was driving down the road. It was like, yeah, that's it. And I laughed. I actually started laughing. There was nothing in there that scared me one bit about that. I actually laughed it off, and I think I spoke out loud to my sister and went, no, I know, Luce, I know. It's like, she's like, fucking finally.
Yeah.
You've finally done it, mate. So, yeah, it's
oh, mate, that's incredible.
It's just the way it went down. Okay, then that was the story. And like I said, nothing's ever happened again. I've got four beautiful kids and a beautiful wife, and life's amazing. And that just seems so long ago, all of that stuff. But it's, there's some stuff there I just can't explain. There's some things that have gone on. There's just, I just cannot explain what happened or what went down. And so, yeah. I'm happy to just share it with people and hope someone can relate to it, and hopefully I can hear their story.
Andrew, your story is so amazing, and I'm so stoked that it's ended in such a positive way for you, because to be down that incredibly dark path that was not ideal, obviously, to where you are now is, such an incredible turnaround. And, you can hear the happiness in your voice. You can hear the relief of being out of the situation that you were. And I genuinely think you have someone looking over you.
Yeah, I hope so. I think so too. I do, mate. I ended up with a dream job. I came back to SA. It really was a dream come true. Like, I know that sounds so cliche. It's pretty bad, but it was like I just everything just got so good. I just got, like, I landed the dream job. I've got an amazing wife, amazing kids. I brought a beautiful home. It just, everything just turned out, and it was just stepping out of that. I just had to take that step out of that place I was in. you know, and anyone listening out there that's in that or might be in, you know, going down that road, just remember sometimes you just got to take a step, get out of it, and never give up, because there's always light at the end of the tunnel, mate. There is for anyone. I don't care who you are, you know, you can get out of it. You've just got to keep pushing.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Believe Paranormal and UFO podcast. If you have had an encounter and you would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. Finally, don't forget to follow us on all our social media outlets and be sure to join our Discord server to talk to other listeners of the show. You'll find all these links in our show notes. Thank you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.